Mahabharata, Part 1, Chapter 31, Part 2, Another Shakuni's Plan, subtitled Hubris, Overbearing Pride or Presumption. Shakuni left the hall and went immediately to speak to Duryodhana. He found him sitting with Karna. The three friends had enjoyed the past 12 years, finally free of the Pandavas. Although his father occupied the throne, Duryodhana was actually the ruler. He tended to all affairs of state. Dhritarashtra spent most of his time alone, regretting his actions toward the Pandavas. Duryodhana had steadily increased his strength, forming diplomatic alliances throughout the world. He would be ready for the Pandavas when they returned from exile. That was, of course, if they ever did come back. The Kaurava prince folded his palms and bowed slightly as his uncle entered the room. After taking his seat, Shakuni said, O ruler of men, having exiled the Pandavas by your own prowess, you now enjoy this earth. Indeed, you have no rivals. The prosperity once possessed by Yudhishthir is now all yours. That very same wealth, which was formerly the cause of your grief, is now your happiness. You have achieved everything by the sheer force of intellect alone. Now all the world's kings are subservient to you, and you are being adored by countless brahmanas. Shakuni smiled slightly as he saw Duryodhana listening to his own praises with relish. Pressing his fingertips together, he went on. Why not pay a visit to the Pandavas, who have never yet accepted your rule? Surrounded by the Kurus, just as Yamaraj is surrounded by the Rudras, you should go and scorch the Pandavas with the sight of your splendor. That prosperity which is seen by both friend and foe, that is real prosperity. Let the wives of the Kurus accompany you in their finest dress, and may they look upon Draupadi clad in parks. What greater happiness could you possibly experience? Karna voiced his approval with a laugh, but Duryodhana appeared pensive. I am not sure. I don't think Father will allow me to go to Dvaitavana. My motives would be too obvious to him. Indeed, that old man is grieving for what we have accomplished, and he considers that they have become more powerful by their ascetic practices. But as he thought of the Pandavas in the forest, Duryodhana smiled. It would certainly be enjoyable to see their poverty and suffering while displaying his own wealth. Gradually, Duryodhana's malice overshadowed his doubts. Nevertheless, your suggestion does find favor with me, O hero. What could be a greater delight than to see the Pandavas sunk in misery? Perhaps we can devise some means by which the king can be convinced to let us go. If Dharmaraj Arjuna, and especially Bhima, were to see me graced with their wealth, then that goal of my life would be attained. The three Kurus agreed that some feasible reason for their going had to be found. Pondering the problem, they each left for their own abodes. The next morning, Karna said to Duryodhan, "O King, I think I have found a plan that will work. I have learned that our cattle herds are now in Dvaitavana. They need to be checked and counted, for it is always proper for this to be overseen by the Kshatriyas. If you simply tell your father that you wish to do this service, surely he will give his permission." As they were speaking, Shakuni arrived and said the same thought had occurred to him. They all felt certain that this was the perfect pretext, and they laughed together and shook each other's hands. They decided to go that very day to see the king. Coming before Dhritarashtra, they inquired about his welfare, and in return, he blessed them with affectionate words. As they sat together, a cowherder, whom Duryodhan had instructed beforehand, came into the room and spoke to Dhritarashtra about his cows. Taking the opportunity, Karna then said, "O King, the cattle are now in a charming woodland, and the time for marking the calves has come. This is an excellent season for your son to go hunting as well. Why not have him go to Dvaitavana to check the cattle? Shakuni and I will accompany him." The king looked doubtful. "O child, although hunting and seeing the cattle are both proper acts for rulers, I do have a concern. The Pandavas are reported to be living somewhere in that region, and thus I feel you should not go. You have defeated them by deceitful means, and thus they are living exiled in the forest. Although Dharmaraj will never become angry, the same cannot be said for Bhima. Although Draupadi is effulgence herself, she is endowed with great ascetic merit, and she is capable of consuming you by her curse. Full of pride and folly as you are, you will surely offend her and thus be reduced to ashes." Continuing with his heart burning, Dhritarashtra again remembered Pandu's sons and their chaste wife. "Perhaps the Pandavas themselves will consume you with the fire of their weapons. Or if from the sheer force of numbers you seek to injure them, then that would be improper, and I know you can never succeed. The mighty armed Arjuna has returned from heaven, and he now possesses all the celestial weapons. Why, even without those weapons, he is capable of conquering the earth. Why then will he not all kill you? I suggest, therefore, that you order some trusted men to go there in your own place. Leave well enough alone and do not disturb the Pandavas, who are like sleeping lions. Shakuni rubbed his chin. O descendant of Bharat, the eldest Pandava is dedicated to virtue and cannot possibly harm us while he is fulfilling his vow in the forest. As for his brothers, they are obedient to him and will do likewise. Neither do we wish to see the Pandavas, for we shall not even approach them. You need not fear any misconduct on our part. Although the king was hardly convinced by Shakuni's words, being repeatedly requested, he finally agreed to let Duryodhana go. The prince quickly assembled a large force of men, and with all his brothers and thousands of women, they soon set off for the forest. 18,000 chariots, 30,000 elephants, 9,000 horses, and many thousands of infantry accompanied them. Carriages, shops, pavilions, traders, bards, and men trained in hunting all followed them. As the procession moved off, it resounded like the deep roar of the winds during the monsoon season. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.